For this talk, I have to first briefly review inflation for you. It's a 20-year-old story, so I'm going to go over briefly, but at least capture some of the terminology and notations and basic issues. And what I'm going to do is I'll describe the standard inflation and then what happened, inflation in the brain world, and what brain inflation is, and what's the latest development. So we have a cosmic scale factor A, and H is essentially the Hubble constant, which is given a potential plus curvature term plus whatever density we have. And if V is a constant, then A is going to increase. And sooner or later, A increases, these two terms will be negligible, and universe will expand exponentially. That's inflation. If we expand, if this number goes like 60 e-fold or more, then it sort of solves a host of problems. In particular, what happened is that if you generate a potential of this form, so this is so-called the scalar field inflaton, it will move very slowly because it's flat, and at a certain point it will drop very fast, and then it coupled to the standard model particles, and then it gets damped by converting energy to standard model particles and reheat the universe, and that's the beginning of Big Bang. Okay, so that's roughly what it is. The important thing is that the scalar field will move at a certain rate, but at different parts, it will move a little bit differently because of quantum fluctuation. So at some parts of the universe, it will move faster, and then whatever arrived earlier will reheat earlier and expand earlier and will cool off a little bit. So that will introduce some density perturbation. And that density perturbation is expected to be 10 to the minus 5 from galaxy formation, because it's precisely those fluctuation that eventually allow.
What kind of fluctuation is this? You mean the fluctuation that it's a quantum?
This fluctuation up there is a pure quantum. It's a quantum fluctuation in De Sitter space, which is well calculated. Okay, it's essentially the Hubble constant over 2 pi. And so in that sense, the spectrum, but not the magnitude, the spectrum is very model independent. It's really coming from a quantum effect. And by spectrum, I mean the density perturbation fully transformed, which goes like k to some power, n minus 1. And n is the spectrum power index that experimentally or observationally been measured. The number, actually, this particular n is very well measured, and it's roughly 1 within a few percent, maybe 7-8%. Okay. That's the result from Boomerang, Maxima, and Darcy past year. And future experiment can measure to 1% accuracy. So that's a power spectral index. And of course, if we can look at the physics more closely, it may not be just a constant, but has a k dependence. And if any theory predicts some k dependence with a little bit larger than 1%, then it can actually be measured and tested in the future. So this is clearly whatever you calculate have a good chance to be tested experimentally, okay? Observationally. In fact, last summer, July, the MAP satellite went up, which can measure this to a few percent. And 4 or 5 years from now, Planck, a European satellite, will go up and can measure to 1%, the power index number. And LISA may even do better, sort of a gravitational wave experiment in the space. Not you. I think they name only after people are dead, so like Hubble and Chandra. Okay. So briefly speaking, during inflation, H is a constant, and this is essentially the length scale with log, and this is the cosmic scale factor of time, if you want, on this coordinate. So what happened during inflation, this is Hubble constant, and then whatever events will, these are sort of a co-moving scale, they will move out of this. This is not causally connected, so this is typical, well-known, the horizon in De Sitter space. And then a certain time, inflation ends, and then the universe gets reheated, And then this will go according to Big Bang with the radiation dominated and then matter dominated. Okay? So what happened is that whatever density perturbation we discussed leaves earliest, you will come back later. Okay? So for example, you leave a certain time, and this is in terms of HT is 60 E fold. Okay? It's a number that I will repeat again and again. That means inflation ends at a certain point, and if you go 60 E fold, which means 60 H times time is 60, that's when the density perturbation leaves, and that density perturbation will show up horizon, essentially what cosmic microwave background measures, delta T over T. Okay, so that's the measurement that people have been doing. And at later E fold, about 10 E fold later maybe, or 15, depends detail, what come out is what give you galaxy structure formation. Okay, so this is the very crude picture. And what we have is scalar field which follow our potential. Okay? And if you slow roll, as I say, potential, because you have to get 60 E folding, so I have to roll very slow before it fall. And in doing slow roll period, we can parameterize that phi dot dot should be small, which means the potential should be flat. And there's some parameter people typically use called epsilon eta, which if epsilon eta is small, the inflaton rolling very slow on the potential, and phi double dot is negligible, and you can just treat the equation dropping the speed. And then when it roll fast and end, then you have to solve the whole equation. But that's the time when you fall off the potential and reheat the universe. Okay. So in this parameter, the power index n can be related to these small parameters, which all depend. Once you know the potential, everything else is fixed, calculable. Okay. In general, there's also gravitational density perturbation you can have. And in most of these cases, it's negligible, and it's very hard to measure. However, that may not be the case. Okay? But in typical inflationary model, they are negligible. Okay? So this is roughly the picture of inflation. And since more data are going to come in the next few years, would be important to see that anything one can say, you better say before the data show up. Okay? So in brain inflation, what happened? Well, in brain, we have a brain. I'm drawing a suppressed three space dimensions. And so that's some bulk. During Big Bang, we would prefer the bulk to be essentially more or less empty. Okay, that's what ADD, Kahneman, Demopoulos, and Diwali point out. What by empty, I mean that also that because you don't want an extra degree of freedom which contribute to the expansion universe, for example. And furthermore, the expansion during the Big Bang, the expansion rate where rho is dropping should be faster than the evaporation rate. Essentially means that evaporation means that the brain is heated up, and then if the bulk is empty or cold, then energy will evaporate to the bulk, and you want that rate to be small, okay? So small such that it doesn't mess up Big Bang nucleosynthesis. Big Bang nucleosynthesis is very pretty well understood, and so we don't want to mess that. And this is the constraint. So in inflation in the brain world, what you require is that by the end of inflation, you reheat, that means dump all the energy only on the brain, not in the bulk. And if T is much smaller than M Planck, then that is fine.
Okay? So you're talking specifically about brain world models with large.
Yeah, we're large, but yes, but turn out that it's not that large, yes.
Right. But if you just had a Susie Gunn model from a Calabi Yau, it would be fine.
No, then that's no distinction between brain and bulk. So
there could be.
Right. Right.
I'm just saying, this is specifically constrained for large dimensions.
Large, yes. Turn out the strength scale has to be 10 to the 14 GeV, very close to Planck scale, a gut scale. So it's not TeV. All right. But we can talk about TeV.
Are you talking about current?
What?
Warp?
No. No.
You mentioned that you
yes, at the beginning. There's no time. I have no time to prepare a review. Warp geometry cosmology is very exciting. I spent time on it, but there's not too much happening in the past year. So, and I want to focus on one thing instead of discussing. So, I'm not going to say anything about warp geometry. So. Oh, I haven't come to that. I just say that it's not TeV. If you want to think about it, you should not think about TeV. So, at this stage. Okay. So. Yes, right.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah. In principle, you don't have to worry about it, but it just means it's very easily satisfied. That's all. Okay, so this is, I just flash it to let you know where my starting points are. So I'm going to consider brains where the standard model particles, quarks, leptons, gluons, are open string states, and the bulk is closed string state. So all the standard model particles, at least in this talk, will be open strings, and which ends in the brain, two brains, okay? And closed string are closed string loops, which graviton is closed string loop. And I call open string modes as brain modes and closed string modes, bulk modes. And what I want to say is that some brain-brain separation, there would be a scalar field, for example, which the mass is determined by the separation. And I would take one of those to be the inflaton. Okay, it can be brain anti-brain or brain-brain. It doesn't matter. Okay, one of this will be the inflaton. So essentially means that the inflaton is a brain mode. And so when it fall off the inflaton potential, it could reheat, it could convert energy to brain modes, so it will reheat the brain and not the bulk. Okay?
But how? Those usually are joints, and those are charge fields?
Well, we will come back. Yes, we'll come back. Okay? We'll discuss this. I will be more specific later. Okay? Now, the important point, of course, is even the brain separation is described by a brain mode, and the inflaton in a potential is a brain mode. The force or potential between brains is due to an exchange of a closed string, a cylinder in this case. So the potential is generated by closed string. Okay, so that's essentially the picture. Rather generic picture. So if you do BPS brain, let's assume parallel. Of course, you can cause the brains are not parallel and brains are with velocity dependence. Turn out those are not particularly suitable for inflation, but you can certainly incorporate it. Okay, I'm going to consider parallel brains for a moment. So if you're parallel brain, then the potential, of course, is known to be zero, or there's no force between them. So if you break supersymmetry, then some potential will be generated, but that's very model dependent. Okay? But if you take brain anti-brain, what happens is you flip the, this is due to the Newell-Schwarz exchange, due to Ramon-Ramon exchange. So you flip this sign, and then you have a well-defined potential, okay? And a constant P is due to brain tension. So what I'm going to do is that the brain separation R, I will write in terms of scalar field phi. So phi would be M string squared times R, right in four-dimension language. And since phi is a brain mode, as I said, then it would get reheated. When you reheat, only reheat the brain, essentially. First approximation.
Are you worried about satisfying slow roll?
Yes, I worry that. Okay.
And this in the interaction, you are writing, you view it as, a string-induced interaction, or what is it?
Yes, if I brain anti-brain, then the potential between them can be easily calculated. Okay, when the separation is relatively large, it would be Coulombic-like.
No, but, but the difference is whether it's kind of random or brain, or
yes.
Is it fundamental thing, is what I'm asking.
The what?
Oh, it's these fundamental things which connect them.
Oh, that's a scalar field.
Scalar field,
right.
Which is, so in this way, it's like a bending of the brain, or what is it?
No. Suppose brain has three dimension,
yeah.
Then first approximation, I assume that the bending is not important. We will come back to that, bending.
But then, you see...
Yes, you can bend. You can bend, you can wrinkle, you can... Yes, you can come in angle, yes, you can do a lot of things.
Just an exchange.
Right.
Yes. But exchange of them is the same as change of profile of the brain itself, right? Because
right.
I can say that the right. position in the brain is local right. as a function of the point on the
yeah,
brain.
Yeah, I should say, the R here is really time-dependent and three-dimensional space-dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So different points, the brain, yes. brain can be like this.
Yeah,
sure. Yes, absolutely. But let me simplify for a moment, and then I'll justify the simplification later. Okay?
You don't
the R is space-time dependent. Yes. It's in general.
Okay.
In general, yes.
It's also really a hybrid model, right? There's a
yes, I come to that. Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's a complicated hybrid model.
So you don't worry that those brains are sources of gravity?
Oh, they will. Depends on the dimension you have. and depends on the scale of the brain tension. I'm going to take brain tension to be a few order of magnitude below Planck scale. So I'm not too worried about that. Right. Yes. If you want, you can include it. Especially if you go to one dimension, it becomes more important. And two dimension, you know, there may be some small deficit angle. But I'm going to ignore that for the moment.
Okay. Isn't it true with this form of the potential then that the slow roll conditions are only satisfied right at the edges of the space?
Right, right, right. That's what I play around, and that's what killed my interest originally.
Yeah.
Okay. So those people sort of salvaged that. Yes, yes. Okay, so.
But they salvage with pies.
They salvage with compactification. So that's what I'm going to talk about, okay? So here I give the potential, which is from a one loop calculation. Essentially, if you know the closed ring spectrum, you can calculate this. And for separation relatively large, this is the brain tension. And the brain is P brain, so whatever is beyond 3 will be compactified, and so there's a volume factor to go with it. And this essentially is the Neuber-Schwarz plus Ramon-Ramon potential at the large separation. It's like Coulombic. Okay? And the parameter is well defined. There's coupling G squared. Most of the time, I'm assuming G is going to be 1. Okay, that's a string coupling. You can put better numbers. And beta is some coefficient, which essentially due to Gauss integration. I won't worry about these too much. Okay, they're order 1. So what happened, of course, you have a potential which is very flat. You expect that it's going to fall in when the brain and type brain on top of each other. You expect it to go to 0, as Ashok Sen and others point out. We don't have to know detail at this moment what happened. We want to know the flat part. Is it flat part enough such that you can slow roll and have 6DE folding? Okay, and that's the key. And answer, as Nima pointed out, it's not enough. Of course, you can go far. You can go very far because when you go large out, it's going to be very flat. Okay, so certainly it will be flat enough. But the problem is that you can't go very large because M Planck is related to the size of the compactification. So you can only go so far as all the magnitude of the compactification. You can't go further. Okay, and in this case, what happened is that in order to get 60 E fold, you have to go far enough to flat enough, which violates this property. Okay, so. Yeah, G is a string coupling. Presume you can determine some other way. It's order 1. If you want more precise number, you can do it. But it doesn't help. Yes. Yeah, it doesn't help. Okay.
But that's, it looks like G square cancel out if you know what G square.
Yes, 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 yes. That's right. But it would be there. So you'll be here.
Yeah, yeah, but yes. Not there, right?
Yeah.
Because it has to be right. You have kind of Coulomb interaction, right?
And yes.
This way it's fixed, right.
So how flat it is. If you really look at this piece, and the G string doesn't come in. Yes.
Well, you want to be an okay. Einstein
frame,
right?
Huh? Yeah, I'm doing Einstein frame.
Yeah, well, that is not Einstein frame.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is that I fixed the compactification radius. Okay, for the moment. Okay, let me fix it. Later on, if we want to see, we want to relax it, what happened? Okay, I'm going to discuss it. Yeah, I'm gonna discuss if we relax it, what happened. Yes, Gary.
Are you assuming equal number of brains and anti-brains, or just sort of a couple of anti-brains?
I'm just writing a potential with one brain, one anti-brain. Right. Okay, I'm gonna do slightly more realistic later. Okay.
That of course will annihilate
you. That's right. They will. Yeah. So the if you go to very far out, this is essentially V equals twice the brain tension. Okay, because the potential is not there. So you're going to fall in, and they're going to annihilate. But apparently, the minimum of the potential should exactly cancel the two brain tension to give it 0. Essentially, you know, if that's the Sen conjecture. I think that's evidence for it. So.
Well, well before that, your brain and anti-brain are within a string scale of each other, and this is not the right discussion, right?
Absolutely right. You are right. But the thing is that at the moment, I only worry about this region. Okay, the physics that can be 60 E fold and the density perturbation, everything measurable is down here, okay? And at this part, all we have to be reheat fast enough, which I'm going to mention what I mean by reheat fast enough. Fast enough, but not too fast, okay? So, yes. And I don't know how to calculate this, but would be more string input may be helpful. Okay, so. So let me describe a little bit why this doesn't work, and then we can see a little bit why. So this is more or less the outline of the calculation, is that I want 60 e-fold, I want the cosmic scale factor to grow by 60 e-folds, which means ht should be 60. So I want to integrate this. N is the e-fold, which means the ht integrate. And tn is the time when inflation ends. Tn is when how many e-folds back in time I want. Okay? And I want this number to be at least 60 e-folds. And in this approximation, easy to do. You can do the calculation, and you get the formula, and you find the number doesn't come out right.
How
often should it be off? Oh, it depends on detail, but typically it's off by maybe 4 or 5 orders of magnitude. It's not enough room for you to do anything. Few orders of magnitude, but depend on the number you put in. Okay.
Right. Any small additions are parametrically off.
Right.
It's just parametrically off.
Right.
The reason for long is just the number 60 itself is associated with the fact that you have less inflation.
No. The 60 E4 have nothing to cut with inflation. Okay. Okay. 60 E4 come from the size of the universe. Yes. Okay. Okay. Here. This is. Okay. This is what it is. Okay, you want the density perturbation that generated how many e-fold back from end of inflation that you will reappear at horizon scale today. Okay, and the number is I quote 60, but if you look at some literature, 55 or somewhere between 55 and 60,
well,
depends on the
TV
number.
Scale,
that doesn't come. That's not that not significant. Yes, yeah, right. Those are all logs. Yes, those effects will come in the logs. We change. From 60 to by one, you know, 2 or 3 e-folds. Right. So, but those effects do in a log. So, yes. Okay. So, what the Burgess people did is the following. Really, a simple observation, but it's very important. What they say is, well, if you're close to, if you compactify, and I draw a square like this, but you can think about something more general. If you sit at the square, you know, this is the tallest, I open it up, square sit in the middle, then the force pulling from the 4 points will cancel. And in fact, if you somewhere like this, because symmetry, there's no force on it, okay? So what happened is that then, that means that, and if you move a little bit away from that, it's quite flat. So that means that doesn't matter what potential you have, there's a region where the potential is very flat, and then the universe may be evolved starting from that region, then you will evolve with 60 e-folds, okay? Still inside the compactified volume, okay? So that's the key point they made, okay? Yeah, that's right. It's well, I'm going to show you. So in a second. But what happens if it's it may start moving in some direction, and if it gets close to one of the point, of course the Coulomb potential dominates, and you move relatively fast, and you fall into one of them. Okay, these are images, and so itself images of course have no force. So you only have to take care. So suppose this is the brain, and I put the anti-brain at the corners, then it will fall to one of them. So the fact that compactification and all the images can cancel the force provide a region where it's very flat. Okay, how flat depends on detail. Okay, so that's the key of the observation. And so what generically they're saying is that it really doesn't matter what potential you have. If you can't sit in a region where the force of a brain and its images balances out, then the potential would be pretty flat. And that may be suitable for inflation. Okay, so one can put in some numbers. If you do multi-dimension, so more than two dimensions, that Coulomb-like in two dimensions would be log-like. And so let's put in some number. What happened to that potential? Okay, so here's some potential. So I take a square potential. And if you sit in the middle, it's a little bit hard to see. But what happened is that it's very flat. There's no linear term or quadratic term or cubic term, only quartic terms. But it's of course, has some four-fold, actually eight-fold symmetry. And if you sit somewhere in this region, then it's very flat and will take a long time. Eventually, you're going to fall to one of the corner where I put the brains in the corner and put anti-brain somewhere in the middle, for example. Okay. So now you can take this and you find that you will have enough e-foldings. Okay. So let me draw the picture for you. The region. So here's the square lattice. And what I did is I put in some numbers. And so what region that you'll be in that you would take more than 60 E folds before the brain anti-brain collide? Okay. And turn out for the number that in order to fix by other things, the region is this size. It's essentially like roughly like a one-third of the region. If the anti-brain's in it, then you have enough e-folding. Okay. So you don't need fine-tuning. I scaled that out. Okay. So this means that if the anti-brain happened to be in this region, maybe about, depends on detail, 30 to 40%, then the inflation will be have enough e-folding. Okay. So that means that you don't need fine-tuning in this case. So furthermore, suppose you have a model where you have a number of anti-brains and number of brains, right? Then the ones that are close by will fall very fast. And all those fall very fast. And what's in this region will take a long time. And one of them may take 60 e-folding, the other may take 100 e-folding. But if you have only one left behind, then essentially inflation comes from the last brain, okay? The last anti-brain before annihilate will give you inflation. The earlier ones will just fall off very fast. And if you have a number of them, the probability that one will have enough e-folding is order one. That's roughly what it is. One can consider even a little bit more general.
Do you have any idea of where these all these anti-brains come from cosmologically?
Well, I will come to this in a moment. Okay. Yes, of course. Let me step by step first. The other possibility, of course, there's not only brains, anti-brains. That means the brains are not sitting on the corners, but some of the brain inside, and they will annihilate very fast. And then again, the last anti-brain will provide inflation. Okay. So that's the kind of picture. Oh.
Is it consistent to have the
branding
dynamical when the scale is
fixed? Yeah, I'm going to give you some number in a second, okay? I mean, at least get some idea. So the picture I have in mind is the following. You have many brains, anti-brains, and some of them may be sitting at the oriental point, but in general, the brains don't have to, they can make some angles, you know, they can be not parallel, okay? And furthermore, they can have some curvature, and they can have wrinkles on it, which is generic case, and they can have metafields on it, and that's metafield in the bulk, I mean radiation in the bulk. So these are open strings, a lot of open string, and metafield, most generic situation. Then also we have excited brains, open strings with stretch between brains. Okay. Now, if inflation takes place, of course, that the curvature term drops out, the flatness, the brains become very flat, and if they have make an angle, that point will be inflated away, so essentially they will be parallel. Of course, they can still make angle in the other direction, but along the brain, along our universe direction is parallel, and all the matter on the brain and the radiation in the bulk will be inflated away. So you end up with a clean picture like this, okay? Some picture like this. The thing is that I put all the brains together, a priori the brains can be sort of parallel but separated, but it seems that from our standard model point of view, somehow at some stage they will be rather close. Okay, for example, QCD, the brains are on top of each other. So, and I don't know how to explain this. One possibility, of course, is because that's massive states, and they would tend to pull the brains together. Okay, but then you can ask why? What happened to brain anti-brain? Why don't they pull it together? And I don't have explanation for this. Okay, so. So I'm going to assume that our stack of brain end up more or less on top of each other, and then there's some anti-brain outside, or maybe it's a brain outside, they will collide and then heat up our universe. Okay, that's the generic picture. Now, you can do a number of other things, but for example, you can have five brains, five entity brains collide and annihilate and generate lower dimensional brains, like three brains. But then the problem is that if we live in those three brains, there's a lot of energy in the bulk. Now, that may or may not be a viable scenario. Okay, so one should go through and check that. Yeah, it probably may or may not make some difference. Yes, but on the other hand, if you generate also one brain, then there are a lot of defects, and you don't want defects present. Okay, that you care. Okay, that would be like the monopole problem you want to solve, and those are sort of detailed calculations. Let's do.
The end of the inflation, is it analytically describable, as in terms of normal potential? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I don't know. Okay. There's enough tech and condensation work done in the recent past year or so, and a lot of boundary string field theory technology used to calculate those things. Yeah, to resolve this problem, we have to answer that. Okay. So.
May I ask a very naive question? So I don't understand this. Why does this brain expand in this case?
Oh, the brain, I mean the dimension along the brain?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you write down the 10 dimensional model, you integrate the volume factor, the compactification, you get a effective action, I'm gonna say maybe you go to Einstein frame and then you can write down the Freeman-Robertson-Walker equation.
Yes. In
principle, it can also contract.
And in fact,
but if you start from inflation and you heat it up, I think that that's the unique path you can take. So, okay. Essentially, for example, the separation between this point and this point will grow by 60 EVO. Okay.
But the bulk is also expanding.
Hmm?
Your bulk is expanding?
No. I have the radial stabilized, so the bulk don't inflate. Now, why is the radial most stabilized? Ask somebody else.
What's the scale of your potential for the open strings?
Yeah. So
you want the radial stabilized at a very high scale, then. You want it to be really rigid, because otherwise it will fluctuate while you're...
That's right. That's going to be, yes. In fact, at the moment, I'm freezing in a radion mode, okay? So let me just finish what happened, and then see if any possibility to otherwise. So besides the formula that we linked the... besides this formula which relate the Planck scale to the string scale and the size of the compactification perp, which I write into phi perp size, there's other relations, and that's the essentially the key relation is that. So the picture now is the following: somewhere in this region, if the brain mode inflaton is at this region. So this is the size of the direction. Okay, in this region, the inflation will take place. And at a certain point, inflation will take place, but the potential become more Coulombic-like. And then at a certain point, inflation will end. And later, the tachyon, well, there's a mode which I've ignored up to now, will become tachyonic. And then tachyon condensation take place. Okay, so that's roughly what's going on. And if you plug in the numbers now, so and then at here, the brain will brain collision will take place, and they will annihilate each other, and the energy is used to reheat the universe, and that's the beginning of Big Bang. Okay. So let's plug in some numbers. First is that the M Planck and the size is, I take D perp to be 2, 4, or 6, or anyway 1 to 6. The other dimension. To simplify the problem, I take the size of string scale. Okay? You don't have to, but that makes life a little bit easier. And then the key is the density perturbation, the one that it's observed by Kobe and Boomerang and other experiments, is given by some formula which depends on the n number E folding and the M string over M prime, like some prime. Okay. So you can plug in this, and you can these two more or less solve. You can solve it, and you find that M string over M Planck for d prep 2 is like 10 to the minus 3, 10 to the minus 4, 10 to the minus 5. Okay? And the size of the volume is large, but it's not humongous. It's like 1,000 or 100. Okay? So that's roughly the numbers that come out of this. So that's the way I put in the numbers, and that's what comes out. Okay. So the interesting point is that if you freeze the radion modes and you have to fit the Planck mass and you have to fit the density perturbation, that's one observational data point we have, you find that string scale is really very high. It's almost comparable to the gut scale. Okay. So in this scenario, the running of coupling is rather simple, is that the standard model running, if you're in the brain, that essentially run like the standard model up to almost unification scale, gut scale, or maybe a little bit below to power running, and then the gravity will run similarly. So if I want to put a unification scale in that demand a unify, that would be another constraint. Okay? At the moment, I assume that the dimension either is string scale or large. But if you put this in, you can actually put more constraint on what the extra size dimensions are. Okay. So in this sense, is the parameters are the whole model essentially have crucially two parameters. One is a string M string, and the other is the size of compactification. Okay. But the size compactification, all you have to do is how many large dimensions. So it's integer and M string, and the rest is fixed. So now, once we say that the inflation scenario essentially can be determined, fixed, so far all the data we have from inflation can be made compatible, we wonder if any string effects one can see. Because eventually we want to say is that if the string scale is so high, 10 to 14 GeV, then the inflation is probably one, maybe the only place one can look for string effects, okay. Direct string effects. And so we want to ask if any string effects one can possibly see, or some effect which is generated by this kind of models. And of course, that if you give me a string model, then you can calculate everything and you can predict everything. But since we are not at that stage, we are looking for some generic features, okay, features that are stringy-like, but not particularly model dependent. Okay. So let me go over this again. This is again the square we have where I put the brain there, and the NT brain can be anywhere in this region. This is in two dimension, but the quality features are very similar in high dimension. So you can be anywhere in this region, and start from this region, then you will evolve. Suppose you're along this line, then evolve. This line is that from here to ending is 60 E fold. Okay, so it will take 60 E fold to get there. So anywhere in this region will be reasonable. Okay, and all the physics along this strip is observable. Okay, so there's roughly 10 to 15 E fold, depend probably 10 E folds in the near future, but eventually maybe we can essentially take data for 60, maybe 15 E folds. Okay, so whatever happened in the in a broad strip around this will be eventually measurable. So if you start from this point, it turned out that instead of going straight down, you will take a sort of bending curve to move in. Okay? Mm-hmm. And typically what happened is that in situations like this, is that the density perturbation power spectrum will have a k-dependent effect. And depends on the detail, that can be a couple percent, and then it will be measurable, okay, by Planck. So there will be, although I should point out that this is not a necessary generic feature. This can easily happen in these models. And if you go to four dimension, again, the potential is very complicated, and you can take sort of most of the time, you will not go straight path. You would sort of make a turn before it falls in. Okay. So whenever it does that, you will have some changes in the power structuring index. That means N will be K dependent for some regime. Typically the effect like the angle you turn theta square or something. So that may be a measurable effect. Okay. But that's not generic in a sense that sometimes you can take a path which along this. And so that's may or may not happen. Oh, certainly experimental boundaries cannot be larger than 10%.
So you're just getting to the
boundary. Well, actually, here the turn is not that much because you have to be pretty close here because the turn has to happen around 60 eV to 50 eV. If you happen too early, you can't see it. Okay. So you know, that's the region. And then the turn is, so if you have around here, then the turn is not that big. This turn happened like 80 eV instead before 60 eV. So if you're around this region, the turn won't be that sharp. Okay. So typical is a few percent effect. Okay.
Your scale of inflation is basically the string scale in this model?
Hmm?
The scale of inflation is basically the string scale in this model?
That's right.
So is it true that you can neglect alpha prime corrections to the potentials?
Oh yeah, you can. Okay, this is very important. Thanks for mentioning this. This is an important point. Here, what I'm doing is I'm taking just one loop correction, okay? String theory, one loop correction. So during the slow rolling power period, this is essentially Coulombic kind of behavior. So the correction is not going to change this form. This is very important because if you go back to a standard inflation in a, you know, probably 1,000 papers written with different form of potential people have, and the people can propose all sorts of potential which have flat and do all the things you want to do. Okay? But those are all phenomenological potentials, and they require flat region. And I should point out the flat region, okay, this is very important. The flat region cannot be too flat, okay? Because if it's too flat, let me go back, this is, yeah, I'm glad you asked because this is somewhat important point. If the potential is too flat, then what happens is the different parts will, fluctuation will get amplified. And so the density perturbation will be too big. Okay, so if it's too steep, they fall down all the same time, and so no density perturbation. So the slope, how tilted it is, essentially will determine the density perturbation. So you want to tilt a little bit, but not too much. You tilt too much, density perturbation will come out wrong, and you will roll down too fast. So you have to really fine-tune the potential such that it come out right. Okay.
I think you're asking why if the scale is close to the string scale, doesn't string slop completely screw up the potential?
Yeah,
why
the
reason locality. It's because of locality.
Right.
The string drop is just going to give you either the minus n string r correction.
So they're exponentials in terms of not just Copenhagen's of order one times one over alpha primes.
It's
either the minus or the stringy correction, the stringy correction typically should expect is h squared over m string square, which in this case like 10 to minus 7.
What's r in this case? So. He doesn't have
separation.
I cut output.
It's still parametric. It's 10 on the string scale. Yeah. Okay. So it's either the negative or 100.
Okay, so the string correction is like 10 to minus 7 order magnitude. So, but the thing is interesting is that the usual potential, even you choose it very flat, you would think the quantum correction would tilt it one way or another and screw up your inflationary properties, okay? And here, the form is due to a closed string exchange, and it's very robust, okay? So. The other point I want to make is the following, is that in this region, in some region, this is again very generic, not only to the two dimension, but multi-dimension, is that the potential sort of move up a little bit here, okay? And this, so during this, if we start some region like this, the inflaton move relatively fast, I mean slow, but not that slow, down this region. So it's not like it's slow roll, but it will move fast and then slow roll and then fall in, okay? So there's a region in these corners where it's possible that if it happened here, it will move fast and then slow, okay? So if you move fast, what happens is the slow roll parameter is not that small, and then the gravitational wave density perturbation can be generated. Okay. In most inflationary models, the gravitational wave density perturbation is too small. Okay. In this case, it can be at least one, even two orders of magnitude larger than naively expected. Okay. And that would be very important, because if you see density perturbation coming not only from scalar field but from gravity, then there's additional information about the power index of that and a number of other things you can test.
This doesn't really work with one dimension.
This doesn't work with one dimension. Yeah, one dimension, I think the potential is confining linear potential. So you look at images, that the force will be zero everywhere. So in fact, it's too flat. Because then you may put a warp geometry in. So, okay. So one dimension you should work on more carefully. Okay. I'm considering more than one dimension. Of course, because the string scale is so high, you can treat one dimension case also. But it would be interesting to do that. Okay. So the bottom line is following. Pick your favorite oriented foil model or some other model with the brains oriented foil planes, or maybe even with anti-brains fixed at some point. Supersymmetric or non-supersymmetric, moduli fixed, radial moduli size fixed, not fixed. In either way, if it's not fixed, then I will have to fix it by hand. Okay, so unfortunately. So if it's fixed, then what you do next is that you add pairs of brain and type brain into it. Okay, you can put randomly pairs of brain and type brain into it. You can put anywhere. Then of course you have to work out a new spectrum, and then you can allow it to evolve. Now, it's possible that the evolution of the anti-brain to collide with brains, the radion still fixed, then the analysis can go through. But if the radion start moving, then you have to do the couple equation, which is can be quite interesting.
If it was fixed before you added the brains, you know adding the brains will generate 1 over r to the 12th potential.
Right. So
you have a hard problem.
Well, so suppose you have a stable point which is fixed, okay, the radion mode. Then, of course, you put brain type brain and you want to move it some other value and let the whole system evolve, okay? Because when a brain type brain annihilate and universe expand, you probably want to end up at your stable point, okay? So it would be an interesting couple set of equations you can do.
Where are you going to get this radian from just string construction?
Yes, non-supersymmetric, right. Well, I understand that radian stabilization is I think we live in a universe which is fixed, so, or very close to fixed. So I'm putting in that piece of phenomenology in.
By hand,
yes. I also assume the cosmological constant is zero. I assume, okay. But I think that once you put those things, the dynamics is very generic, okay? The brain and type brain dynamics is very generic. The potential essentially is dictated, as I say, string scale and how many large extra dimensions. And of course, if you do oriented fold, you know, the shape will come in eventually. Okay, so in that sense, the things are very quite generic. But talk about radion, let me just mention a little bit about the radion mode. So what you have high dimension, you integrate out the higher dimension, and let me call the phi to be radion mode. And then you have a brain mode phi, which I would treat as an inflaton. And you integrate out, you get an effective fraction, and then you go to the Einstein frame. And what happened is that the radion mode will come in, whatever potential you have before, the radion mode will come in e to the minus 2 phi. Okay. So what this tells you is that generically, the radion mode is not a good inflaton because this has the wrong potential. However, if you have some other field, a brain mode, which is inflaton, then the radion mode can come and play an important part. Okay. So this is another reason why a brain mode seems to be more suitable for inflation than a bulk mode, which radial mode is bulk mode. Now, so together with this, one should also, let me also mention the following, is something one tried earlier, is that so far I say the string scale must be 10 to the 14 GeV, somewhere very high up. Can one do something where the string scale is low? Okay. And the answer is, well, the reason that we have to force the string scale very high up is because the density perturbation tells us it must be high up. And the density perturbation typically is M string over what Planck mass. So what you can do is that you say, I choose a radial mode, which is a radial, which is relatively small size. So the Planck mass is small. And then I would get the right density perturbation with M string at TeV scale, roughly. And then after inflation ends and reheat, you allow the radial mode to grow to a large scale. Okay. And you can work this out. And of course, the scenario is rather complicated. But what bottom line is that if you want an M string scale to be small, you can try to implement some non-trivial coupling between the radial mode and the inflaton. Okay. So this is some scenario we did. Which is rather complicated, but one reason it's complicated is because after you have reheat, the radial mode typically has large kinetic energy. So if you have some sort of potential like this, it will run over past it, and it won't get trapped at stabilized point. So that's dynamically, it's a non-trivial problem. You can make it very deep, but you don't understand. At a certain point, you try to avoid fine-tuning. If you make it very shallow, then you will end up the place where it gives us today's Newton's constant. Then you will try to oscillate along that point. And that oscillation doesn't get damped very easily. And in this picture, Newton's constant may still be oscillating, you know, with some frequency. Okay. In fact, the bound is not very good. So if you oscillate at 10 to the 14 hertz, where the Newton's constant changed by a factor of 2 within the oscillation, we won't be able to tell. So that's okay. But on the other hand, it's other way is that you have some sort of potential with many minimums. Then the radial mode we try to run, at a certain point, the universe expands, the kinetic energy gets cut down, and you will fall into one of them. Okay. So but you can think of other scenarios to do. If you have a model where the radial mode is stabilized at some point, then you can certainly put in this and analyze the coupling between the two and do a more non-trivial analysis to see.
Analysis, did you take into account the fact that it's the that right after the end of the original period of inflation, as the extra dimensions grow, our dimensions shrink? And then
we did not try that.
So I think if you go straight down to an effective four-dimensional theory, you'll get it wrong. Because there's an intermediate period.
Oh, yeah, in this case, it's...
And that does lots of interesting things.
I see. We just take one dimension larger and see what happens. It is non-trivial to follow it, actually, because the time change in Newton's constant changing, you know, so... But I think we did it carefully, and there's a problem with... a number problem, you have to worry about supercooling, reheating, you know, or maybe some inflation again happening. So it's a complicated model, but...
No, but I'm just saying a very generic feature of cosmology is like
yes.
This, is that if you start and do inflation at the beginning when the dimensions are small, which is a good thing to do.
Right.
Okay. Then there's something interesting that as the dimensions grow to the final size, you go through a period where our universe shrinks.
The Kessler effect essentially means that different dimension can evolve differently, right?
So as the internal radii are growing, our universe shrinks. And then it's actually interesting that when the radion gets stabilized, there's a bounce again, and then you enter the final period of the Big Bang. But there's I'm just wondering.
In this case, you have to stabilize it before that you go to Big Bang phase. In between, you can have supercooling and a number of other things happening. And we take the simplest scenario. What can it do? Yes, generically, it gets very complicated. Right? But the main point I say is, can be done.
One of the interesting things about that, right? Well, it gives you another way of doing reheating.
Yes.
You can have just like the thermal bath left over after inflation, which normally doesn't give you a lot. But that gets blue shifted during this period.
Yes, some blue shift can take place, yes. Yes. But that can distort a lot of things, but we try to minimize the blue shifts, yes, yes. Generically, we have some, yes. Yes. Oh, you have to follow the density perturbation. So what happened in this case is that it's still outside the horizon. Okay. So.
Even when you change density.
Yes, yes. You have to follow that. In fact, that's important to follow it. Make sure, you find a gauge invariant potential and follow that gauge invariant quantity, see what happens. Yes, you have to be careful. Right. If any time you come back in the horizon and go out, then that's a, that's even more complicated.
Okay, so let's see if we can find some stringy effect, you know, because so I try to write down, suppose we have n p brains and k anti brains, and n of course must be bigger than k by 5 because our standard model probably have 5 brains to form the standard gauge group. Of course, you can put a orientable plane, but let me just go ahead. So what we have is that for the p brains, we have a phi, the scalar field, a matrix adjoint. And for the anti-brains, we also have a k by k. And of course, if you have, say, four number of d-prep dimensions, you have this is the coordinate index I runs over it. And then, of course, you have tachyon field, which is n by k, and tachyon bar k by n. And then you can write down some sort of interaction between them. Some of them are, besides the kinetic terms, some of them are well known. This is the commutator trace and for the brain, and this is the commutator trace for the anti-brains. And then you have a tachyon mass term, which is 4 log 2. You can get it from boundary string field theory. And actually, you can have a fourth order term, but I didn't write it down. And then you have the phi and the phi hat will couple the tachyons as well. And that's important because the tachyons now can couple to the phi will eventually can dump energy into it. So what happened?
Don't you worry that those phis are actually charged? Phis are not neutral fields, are they?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you can they in fact that's good because they're coupled, I suppress the gauge field. So typically the inflationary universe, for example, I suppress all the gauge field. You can certainly write it down and put it in, and they will couple. No question about it. In fact, that's why they can be energy can be dumped to the brain modes, the standard model fields. Okay, I'm suppressing all those as standard inflation do. When you reheat, you have to couple them back in to make sure they dump the right energy in. Okay. So in this case, of course, if some of the anti-brain and the brain are separated relatively large, then this will give a mass term to the tachyon such that bigger than this, so tachyons are not tachyonic but are massive. So what happened? The potential in the tachyonic direction are all moving up. So inflaton will roll down in the valley. Okay, and then at a certain distance, when the distance gets close enough, then the tachyon becomes tachyon. Essentially, what's valley becomes turned the other way down, and then it can fall off. Okay, very many directions. In this case, you know, it can fall off in a matrix direction. So one can also now add the one loop effect, which is can be calculated, and for large separation, we'll give the Coulomb term I have, and then of course the brain tension you can put in. Of course, you have orientable, you have to remove the contribution coming from orientable planes. Okay. So now this will be at least a sample inflaton potential. In this case, that you can if compactify, you have to put a volume factor in, but the key point is that. In general, if you do an inflationary potential, you typically have one field, two field, or some hybrid field, a few fields. And it's the parameters all sort of arbitrary. But in from string, you can derive really from first principle very few parameters. In the non-compactified case, the only is M string is the parameter. You can also add the other things. So let me skip that just step. In this case, for example, you have in four dimensions, you have at least with minimum one anti-brain. You have already 160 scalar fields, you know, which are huge numbers. And yet their coupling is totally different from any inflation model would do. Okay, so phi will come upstairs and downstairs, we come in a commutator, and all determined. And so this sort of offers a chance that now we can sort of do follow the process and see what generic feature will come out from this, which is not what you expect from a simple inflationary potential. Okay. The one possibility is that if some of the brains are very close to each other, that's a lot of flat directions in that, and then you will get something called known as the iso curvature density perturbation, which will be interesting if observed to be seen. What it means is that in this kind of potential, one feature, as Miriam pointed out, is that they couple to the gauge field, other fields, they're charged. And what happened is that the different fields will move in different way, and they will couple to different species of fields because they're charged. Different phi will couple differently. And so that what happened is that as they fall down, each will have different density perturbation, each will have a different fluctuation. And the density perturbation is no longer just all the particles have same density perturbation, but different species will have different. So you can study the correlation between different species eventually, if that's possible. Okay. That will certainly reveal from this kind of model. So the hope is that the string theory actually will provide some non-trivial features in the density perturbation, both the scalar and the tensor, that will be measured in the next few years. There's a lot of issues here which I sort of slap over. One is mentioned about the tachyon, is that I write tachyon potential of this form. What people derive is from boundary string field theory, which is really as e to the minus 2t squared times something like this. That's what people derive. And I just fully defined to that form. But if you have this form, you find that as t go to 0, it's the potential which really go to 0. Okay, so that's the tachyon falling down to the minimum. But the minimum is that t equal infinity. Okay, and from this potential, we have no idea what happened if you go beyond t equals infinity. In the Fourier definition, the potential that infinite point is mapped to a finite point, and yet presumably the potential will go back up. But the boundary string theory would not be able to tell you what happened on the other side. And it would be very interesting to know. It depends on the detail, of course, if the reheating, the falling of the tachyon is over-damped or critically damped, then we don't have to worry what happened on the other side. We just fall there and reheat, annihilate and reheat. But if it's not, again, presumably given the parameters we can calculate, if not, you're going to oscillate on the other side, then we really have to know what happened in that case. Okay. So is there a singularity, time-dependent singularity or not? Singularity very much like the one that cyber and ex-priority people worry about, brain-brain collision and hit a time-dependent singularity. And that's something that one has to look more closely. And the other point, of course, is that any time tech can fall in, very likely the lower dimensional brains get generated as defects. Okay.
Could I just interject? Yes. I thought inflation saves you here.
Well, inflation sometimes saves you, but in this model, it's very specific. One has to check to see if one saved or not. In the parameters I give, the temperature, reheat temperature, 10 to the 12, 10 to the 13 GeV. So you wonder if lower dimensional brains will get produced as defects in this case. And if it's rarely produced, that's OK. If it's copiously produced, then this won't work. So that actually put a very tight constraint, I think, on what one can do. And that may even depend, but that may depend on the different orientable model or string model you have. So that would be an important constraint to include. So let me summarize that we have quite a bit of data from COBE, Boomerang, Maxima, Dassey in Alasia, and MAP in a year or two, and then Planck in 5 years, and Lisa, I don't know if it's funded yet, but it would be very good in looking for gravitational density perturbation. Planck will also be able to measure density perturbation coming from gravitational modes. And some of this experiment will also measure the polarization. So that's a lot of tremendous data. And you can always call them precision data because they're measured to 1% accuracy or better about the Pauli spectrum index and the gravitational one as well. So here it's a scenario which we can calculate not quite from first principle. In the uncompactified case, one can almost do it first principle, but in a compactified case, not quite first principle. But there must be, you know, it very likely it will have some generic features, and we want to find the generic stringy features that can pop up and calculate them before data come in. There's a number of issues here, of course, that, as I mentioned, the brain annihilation that one may have to worry about singularity problems, defect formation, and of course, we go through the sitter space, and we want to understand better from string perspective what's going on during inflation epoch. So that's, and furthermore, it would be nice to be able to write down the potential or effective action for all these brain modes more precisely so that one can analyze them more accurately. So I think there's some more work from string theory can do, and but I think it's you know, a year ago we have no we don't know what to do, but now it seems there's a lot of things we can do. Thank you.
Theory, there are effects that seem to go beyond effective field theory.
Yes. That's right.
For example, there are gauge bosons which don't have any perturbative sources. You take a strict classical limit, you go down this potential, and they disappear.
I don't know.
And it's thought to be some sort of interesting alpha prime effect. But
yes.
As such, you can't really use these.
Absolutely, I understand. Yes, I don't know that, you know, the U1 gauge in brain type brain case we confine or what happened to them. I'm not sure it's completely resolved these issues. So there's more string work needed to be. But fortunately, in order to compare with experiments, the reheating part is not that important. The only important point about that part is that what's the reheat temperature and how many defects get produced. So you can estimate the defects being produced, and that's all the magnitude I think is good enough. And then if too much defect produced in a particular scenario, then you know that's bad. And if hardly any produced, then it's good. So I think that estimate may be doable without having to resolve all these other issues. Okay. But certainly, you know, when brain type brain hit, you know, do they hit pass, you know, it would be interesting, oscillate a few times and then start degraded. And I mean, that I think it's a very interesting dynamical question. Instead of having brain, what people calculate now is having brain, anti-brain, you know, stay on top of each other, you know, but there's no time evolution. And those are all very interesting questions. And if there's singularity, naively, maybe in string theory, there's no such singularity. And I think those are very important issues to resolve.
There are variants on this, like where you would have sort of a couple of five brains and one has a three brain dissolved and one has an anti-three brain. And that's gentler. And I mean, if you want something gentler there, where you have a potential description, you can probably find variants.
Right. So then the question is that, you know, so you have a, but there will be reheat outside the three brain, and that is the bulk get, how the bulk get reheated, is that a problem? Then that's another constraint you have to worry about. So maybe that's easy to implement. So I think that's numerous scenarios you can imagine, and each scenario you can follow to quite a large extent and see the constraint are satisfied or not, and see what the consequences are.
CalArrays have done some recently, which sounds like probably T-dual to this or something. Is that true?
Oh, people have written down models where you take any models, then you can generate potential, and you can find potential relatively flat, and then you can fall in. So
similar thing, but
that's not brain. Yeah. So but that what it did is the toy model, because it's n equals 2 and n equals 2 potential is quite, you know, generically maybe quite different. So but you can write down any model and look at potential to see if it's suitable for inflation or not. What I want to say is the brain anti-brain seems to be generically flat enough to do it, and then the reheat is not a problem. If you just take brain annihilate, typical, for example, we work on the brain annihilate, and you can generically BPS have no potential between them, but you can put in an angle, you can put velocity term, and then there's some energy. But it's too small. Okay, they're not good enough for reheating. They reheat very little or not at all, or so the potential have the wrong shape. And so to reheat is a crucial point. And brain anti-brain certainly dump a lot of energy for you to reheat. And that's a good feature of a brain anti-brain.
Okay, just have a question. I mean, sure. Intuitively, I would have thought when a brain and anti-brain annihilate, they dump all the energy into post-brain modes.
Ah, yes, thank you. That's a good question to mention. Yes, if you have nothing else, just brain anti-brain collide, nothing left, then all the energy dumped to the closed ring, and then you end up with a closed ring vacuum. So in order for the scenario to work, you want the energy to be dumped into the standard model particles on our brain. So that's why I put all the brains together and the anti-brain hitting them. And then all these phi, the adjoint, will, the energy can be transferred there and transferred to standard model. So that's why I prefer to look at this to guarantee. Now, question is, if I have a stack of brain out of standard model and I brain anti-brain here, if they annihilate, how much get dumped there? That's an interesting question I haven't figured out, because certainly there's a link there.
But it all does almost instantly with these scales. I mean, there's just no question. You're making things up at,
Yeah, because you say 10 to 14, you don't... If you have 10 to the 14, then probably it's okay. But suppose you want to move it lower. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is true that...
It gets to be a problem.
Right. So, the bottom line is that what you said is a problem in unrealistic model. In any realistic model, it's not a problem. That's the bottom line.
You're saying that the co-string moves decay in the photon?
Yeah, I mean, everything will decay to light modes, which isn't prevented by some quantum.
Yeah, but...
gravitons can decay. So let's say you have some stuff, let's say you have another brain. You produce a bunch of gravitons. Gravitons will decay to the light modes on this other brain.
Yeah, but in this case, it's that the
gravity. The two photons, graviton B plus E minus.
They'll also decay to a lot of gravitons.
That's right.
They actually don't decay to a lot of gravitons by taking momentum.
Yeah, but I think that in the presence of a standard model set of brains.
So actually, the way they dominantly decay is by, you make a graviton, there's a massless particle, think about it as a massless particle whizzing around in this space. A massless particle can decay, no face bits. But it smacks into this other brain, there's some light fields there, it gets there. I mean, this is just very standard in any generic inflationary model. It doesn't matter if there's heavy states around, whatever. It doesn't matter. But as long as the lightest stuff around is a standard model, everything will eventually decay. Even if it's through higher dimension operators, it will eventually decay. But if the scales are 10 to the 14 GDP, it doesn't
matter. No problem, yeah.
So you don't even, you could just reheat the Vulcan, it's not a problem in this space.
No, you said that it... No, you have to be careful because under the graviton, and
but even that doesn't matter so much
because it's only one mode. Because you said,
one mode.
Right. But I think that, but I think the picture here, but I think here what happened is that all the phi and tachyon are brain modes, so they will typically dump all the energy into the brain most likely. So, but the important thing I think is that if you follow the scenario, just now you're looking at it. Because of the quantum fluctuation, the energy dumped into different species may be different. Okay, they have all have same density perturbation, but their correlation can be different. They have maybe some correlation. So that would be interesting, because that's something maybe observable. So.
Maybe some comments on space-like singularities. Maybe Joe can say something.
No, I think I mean, if you're asking about the ekphotic bounce, I think we have no idea whether it happens or not. I mean, we don't have the tools to address it right now. It's really scary. I mean, there are points of view from which the ekphotic bounce looks very gentle. It looks like flat space, if you can get some coordinates. But the truth is, I don't know of any point of view from which it looks like flat space. And that's the argument about space-like singularities, that there's no simple argument that says the bounce happens.
What in the context when you have inflation, you know, with applying
inflation?
I don't need a bounce.
In fact, it's possible that the brain anti-brain would have a bounce there, but I think they would hit so fast that I think it's all washes out, so I think that's not a problem there. But the bounce they have for
something very good.
Yeah, for example, for EA cross A, nothing gets annihilated, I'm surprised actually no more progress made in that since the original paper.
What?
Not much.
No.
Oh, I see you did some work.
No.
I don't before the new universe and stuff yet, right?
I'm not saying I'm not doing more work. I'm saying that there's
It's a hard problem.
Yes,
it's been a very important problem in string theory since the beginning.
Yes.
To understand the Big Bang, singularities inside black holes, space-like singularities. And we made
but this is not space, it's dynamical. This is
no, this is a space-like singularity. It's a cosmological singularity, just like the Big Bang.
Is that why? Because if I can always two EHs sit on top of each other, it's not a problem, right? That's just zero coupling heterotic strain.
Also, no time dependence. Also, the four-dimensional scale factor is always zero.
The problem is that the brain's coming together and bouncing, and that's a singularity of sorts in the metric. So, this has been one of the most important problems.
I think it's not surprising that we haven't made much more.
In 6 months, it's not surprising we haven't solved it. Some of us have been thinking about it for 10 years.
Usually, the singularity in graph theory, string theory may not see it, may resolve it. That's the whole idea about string theory, right? Resolve it, understand it, orbifold, conifold.
Some of us have been thinking about it for 10 years. It's not that easy.
So we have to wait another 9.5 years. So.